All right, praise the Lord. Welcome back to our Bible study this wonderful evening. I hope and pray everybody's having an awesome day. Had a great day, and truly it's been a blessing. Again, anytime that God gives you life, anytime God gives you another opportunity to serve him and live for him, to represent him, to mention his name, or to get things right, or to, again, to help someone else, again, here see Jesus, truly it's a blessing today. So every day is a blessing to be alive and, again, be amongst the land of the living. Amen. And truly, this day was for a purpose, and your life is for a purpose. And we pray and hope that each one of us fulfill our purpose today. We're thankful, again, for each one joining us. We had an awesome, again, celebration this past week. We're still in celebration mode. Throughout the years, we've oftentimes taught about what happens after Easter. Various things. We had a whole series on that one time, and because we don't want Resurrection Sunday and really Easter to just be a one-time event. For some, it is that. For some, it's that very thing where, again, I just come to service one time and then we say, "See you next year." But we don't want that to be the case. We don't want that to be your case. But it should be an everyday experience with God. It should be an everyday thing in which we talk about, pray about, live for. That should be our purpose in life. And it is no doubt to continue to remember and live the life that Christ expects us to live. And so really every day we should have our minds on Calvary, have our minds on the resurrected Savior, and celebrate it every time. It's not just a one-time event. And so we don't want to see you next year. We want to see you next week. How's that? And so you come out and be with us. Matter of fact, not even next year. This Thursday night is our next time we have service. This Thursday night, come on out and be with us in the house of the Lord. So make plans to be with us this Thursday night and then our Sunday morning. So again, this Sunday morning coming up, come be with us. Come be with us in the house of the Lord. So we're thankful for all that God is doing. And heaven knows. Heaven knows all throughout the world. Again, the gospel was preached. And we preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, so really that's what it's all about. To tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus. And so we're thankful today for his goodness. I want to focus part two tonight. We started a series. It's not really a series. It was just we were dealing with the Easter last week and what it really means and what it's all about. It's not just Jesus' resurrection, but it should be our resurrection as well. It should be our individual resurrection. Actually, we celebrate his resurrection, but when you come to Christ, you can't just be a believer, but you must live the resurrected life as well. That's what being saved is. That's what being born again is. A resurrected, changed life. Jesus told Nicodemus in what, John 3, you must be born again. So there's a newness of life that takes place. And so the resurrection is a hope that we have. It's a hope we're going to cover. It's something, again, where you, it's new, it's fresh. It's, again, you were once dead. We were once dead and gone in our sins and our trespasses. We covered last week, talked about a lot of various sins and various things that God is able to deliver us and raise us up to live in newness of life. And that's what happens is we talked about the baptism last week. When we go into that water, you die and you get back up, washed and cleansed and made whole again. And so you're representing that the old you and I, the old us died. And if the old you and I did not die, we are not living the resurrected life, because you've never died. The only ways you can be resurrected is to what? To die the old man, the old woman. Not to die the physical death, but we're talking about the spiritual death. The old men, that old sinner man and woman has to die. And then we raise up in newness of life, in newness of life with Christ. And so we want to cover a little bit more tonight on concerning that. We've covered a little bit more concerning the resurrected life. And it's truly a blessing tonight. I want to draw your attention to a few verses here in the Word of God. Out of John chapter 11 first. John chapter 11, 24 through 27. And really it was a story about Jesus' ministry. He was in the middle of it. And a young man named Lazarus had died. And so we'll pick up the exchange right there. The Bible says, "And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection, Jesus says, and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now, again, Jesus had approached this lady Martha, and she had told Jesus, she says, "Lord, my brother's dead, and we wish you were here before. We know you probably could have stepped in and healed his sickness, but it didn't happen. 4 days had gone by." And she began to say, "You know, he had told her, you're going to see your brother again." And then she began to respond back, naturally, because of the Jewish tradition and really what the law says, that again, those who die in God will rise again. And naturally, God has a better place for every believer. And again, to spend eternity with the loved ones of old, saints of old, we will all spend eternity together. So Martha had this in her mind, saying, "Yeah, we know we'll see my brother again. Yes, we all know this." Again, and many times people say that again, but it's not always true. It's not always true. You know, those are words of comfort at funerals and various things. "Oh, you'll see your brother again. You'll see your sister again." We do our best to refrain from, especially if the person's salvation is not known, if the person's faith is not known, try to refrain. Don't give a false hope. But again, so she said she had hope. She knew that. She knew that, again, that her brother would live again. Naturally, she thought about the afterlife. But Jesus said, listen again. He says, I am the resurrection. Jesus began to declare that to her. He said, "I am the resurrection." He says, "And the life. He that believeth on me," he says, though he were dead, he shall he shall live. He shall live. And so you think about this, he shall live again. God is, again, everything. He gives us eternal life. And so when one believes in Jesus Christ and accepts him as Savior, naturally that is the key to eternal life. But again, the teaching of this Bible study is this, there's a lifestyle that comes with it. Anybody can say they believe. The Bible says the devils even believe and tremble. I'm going to give you that verse in a minute. Anybody can believe. And so sometimes, again, you know, we cut the doctrine short. Sometimes people cut doctrine short and say, "Oh, see, all you got to do is just believe." No, it's more than just believing. Because the Bible says what the devils believe and tremble. They believe and tremble. And so it's more than just believe, but we have to begin to live the resurrected life. Amen. You know what? Get ready for this. James 2:19. I'll give you that reference. James 2:19. She prepares to pull it up. We think about it. So even the devils believe. The devils know. The devils, when Jesus had cast out demons, the devils even through legion, the legion of demons spoke out of that man and said, "Hey, why are you coming to torment the Son of God?" Because they knew who he was. They knew it was Jesus. They believed. They believed. And naturally, but that doesn't save you, just simply believe it. There's more to it than that. You got to live a life along with that. And so listen, we say that thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. He says, the devils believe and tremble. You see that? Devils know. They believe as well, and they tremble. We just wish to God that men would tremble. Would to God that men would tremble. Let's finish up and back to John 11:26. John 11:26. The Bible says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me. So there you see that. Whosoever liveth. You got to live the life. So the next verse, Jesus put two things on. He says, not just believing, you got to live it too. He says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So again, it's not but just believing, because the demons even believe, but they're not saved. The worst of the worst can believe. Yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, there's a God. But I just don't live for him. Yeah, I know Jesus. I mean, I believe in Jesus, but I don't live for him. So that doesn't qualify you for heaven, because you got to live for him. We talk about the resurrected life tonight. And I know it steps on a lot of folks' doctrine, because they're, you know, the funeral home, they want to put everybody in heaven, and the preacher wants to put everybody in heaven. But we cannot, to really be honest with you, we cannot put you in heaven. I can't go to heaven if I don't live the life. You can't go to heaven if you don't live the life. Just straight up. Let's keep moving. The Bible says, number 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And so she began to name him as Christ. That's part of a profession. The profession that he is Lord. He is Christ. Right, because again, many will believe in God. Their religions that, I believe he's God. There are many guys. I talked to one lady years ago. She said, yeah, I believe in him. He's God. I believe in the moon God. I believe in the sun God. I believe in the cow God. I believe in this God and that God. No, there's only one God. The rest is idols. We ought to cover that. I was listening to a message the other day about false gods, the danger of false gods, what you allow to come in. False gods, there's a spirit behind it. It's demonic behind it. We'll share with you. I'll share with you what we heard the other day. It was awesome. Awesome to hear. And you have to teach that one day. But there's only one God. The rest are false and they're demonic. And the devil's right behind it. That's it's awesome, awesome teaching. We have to come into it. The Bible is First Peter, but we have a lively hope. Let's get back to Jesus, the resurrected Savior. The rest of them are in the grave. All the other false gods, false religions, they are in the grave. And we share with you Sunday morning. Again, people, we live in such a politically correct world. There is only one God. There's only one way. We just read to you. If you don't believe that, you haven't lived the resurrected life. Because there's room and doubt, a little bit of doubt. When you don't believe that Jesus is the only way, Jesus, who our Heavenly Father sent, if you have a little bit of wiggle room, again, concerning that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if you have any wiggle room with that verse, again, you start to question, again, your resurrection in your own personal life. Because if you have a little gap, the Satan will take that gap and run with it. All right? But anyway, we have a lively hope, church. We have a lively hope. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ being the way, the only way. He's the only way that makes the vilest of sinners clean. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can change a life. You can try programs. You can try being a good boy or being a good girl, giving to the poor and all these different things. But it's only one way to be born again, to be see a life, a true, true, effective, life-changing power that only comes from above. And that's what we celebrate this weekend, the power of Almighty God to live a resurrected life, to give men and women the opportunity to live a resurrected life. Let's look at some more. Blessed be the God of our fathers and our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. This is not a dead hope. This don't stop at the grave. Every day of your life, you should be alive, worshiping, praising, excited about God. It is a lively hope. You find yourself getting burnt out and dying in your Christianity. No, you got to realize we serve a living God. There should be some joy in your life. There should be some peace in your life. There should be some satisfaction. There should be some excitement about the kingdom of God. There's a lively hope that we serve. We serve an exciting, exciting Savior, an exciting God. Again, in the day, and many times you saw people's lives change. You saw their hearts change. You saw their lives transform, and they got so excited. They ran through the town. They ran through the city, and they wanted to invite somebody. They wanted to tell somebody. Again, in the day, we encourage you to invite somebody. Bring somebody. When the last time you brought somebody to church? When the last time you invited somebody to church? When the last time you told somebody to come to 335 Asher Street? Tell them to come this Thursday night. Open up your lips. Get on your phone. Text somebody. Say, meet me at the church. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this next service. You don't want to miss the next event. Come on out. The church is alive, but you got to come alive. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you have a lively hope. But if you're dead, well, then, again, you haven't lived a resurrected life. If you got a problem going sober, if you got a problem and all these things, again, being part, again, and reaching out to people, that's part of being resurrected because you want to witness, you want to tell somebody, you want to help somebody, you want to be a believer to do the things for the kingdom of God. You want to help the church. You want to be a part. You don't want to run from the church. You don't want to make excuses not to come to church. You want to go to church. That's what we shared with you before. I told him, even the week before, I said, you know what? Resurrection is coming up. Easter Sunday is coming up. Take the day off. Take the day off. Boss, I ain't coming in. Why? Because, again, I'm going to celebrate my Lord. Resurrected life. When I got my job, even when I came to New York, or even just all my jobs, I said, God, don't let them interfere with my church. No job. God, I need vacation. I need time off. And it cannot interfere with my church. It cannot interfere with my worship. Because my Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, and my Saturday mornings, and my Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, are dedicated for that. And really, more than that. But you know what? Again, why? Because you say, you know, God comes first. God comes first. I'm talking about a resurrected life. You got to put some priorities in place and say, you know what? In your faith, say, praise, I can't get a job like that. Well, pray, believe. The resurrected life says, you know what? I'm qualified for a 9-to-5. I'm qualified for a 7-to-3. I'm qualified for this job or that job. God, I need to be in the house of the Lord. And you make it a priority. And when God sees your heart to where you really mean business, to come and be a part of the resurrected people, to be in the congregation of the people. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together, the matter of something. He says, forsake it not. The resurrected folks want to be around other resurrected folks. And to bring other people in to where they want to be resurrected. See your community resurrected. We're talking about the resurrected life tonight. And so you say, preacher, my faith is dying. I don't want to come to church no more. Well, again, let Jesus touch you. Be born again. Be endued with power of the Holy Ghost. It's a lively hope. It's not a dead hope. It's a lively hope we have. God gives you a quickening spirit. When the disciples, before the disciples got saved, how did they get saved? When Jesus rose from the grave, everybody now was going to be able to be saved. Before they believed, before they was believers. But it wasn't until the blood sacrifice to where they now were saved because the blood had been shed. Before, the disciples were just believers following him around. They wouldn't save you. Nobody was saved until Jesus rose from the grave. And so the point I'm trying to bring is, after that, Jesus said, I'm going to send them the Holy Ghost. And he's going to empower you. He's going to give you that resurrection power that you need. Because before, the disciples would fall asleep. They were kind of, I can only imagine, they could only go so far and walk so far. They probably got tired easy. They probably grumping at God. But you saw them grumping at God. Why we got to go through Samaria? Why we got to go here? Why we got to? It's a shorter way this way, Jesus. Why? Crying and moaning and complaining because they were in their flesh. If you start to moan and complain about God and the things for God and the church, various things. Why we got to do this? Why? I don't know. Whatever the case may be, don't be a, live a resurrected life. Get excited. Why we gotta go? I gotta go through Samaria. We must needs go through Samaria. But once they got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, you couldn't keep them. They went out there and set the world on fire because they had been resurrected. I'm talking about a resurrected life tonight. Tonight, say, preacher, I used to be on fire. Well, say, God, resurrect my fire. That's what this weekend was about. This weekend, the message, extraordinary feats. Again, of rising again, rise again. People came out and say, I needed that message. I needed that message to rise again. The devil will beat you down and say, you stay down. You ain't been in church in so long, so you're going to stay down. And no, don't stay down. Get up. Get back up. Get back up. Say, run back to the house of the Lord. You know, it's been a long time, preacher, but I'm coming back. The big comeback, right? But you can't come back until you die. You can't come back until you die to your own self. Say, you know, I'm not going to let what stopped me before stop me again. I'm getting up. Let's move on. 2 Corinthians, new life. We're talking about resurrected life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you claim, back to what we said, we opened this up a few weeks ago about the resurrected life. If you name the name of Christ. And so he says, therefore, if, and where he is again, that small little word, but it's powerful. If any man be in Christ, if you claim to say, I'm a believer. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord, Pastor. I'm a believer. He said, he is a new creature. That's a lot right there. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old you died. The old way we respond died. The old thoughts died. And when they try to come back from the grave, you push them back in the grave because that man, that woman is dead. You're new. You have a new residence. Sharing my wife today, we're now new citizens of the kingdom. New citizens of the kingdom. I'm preaching a message one of these days. Where are we from? But again, you think about this. Naturally, continue to pray for the city where I grew up. How's that? I was talking with a man. I said, I got the message really, and really some other things going on. But I was talking with a man, and he was talking about he hates when people say back home. This man I work with, he said, I hate when people say back home. Well, back home this, back home that. He said, no, you live in New York. This is now your home. This is where you abide, right? If you like it better back home, go back home. But he was saying anyway. But there's a lot of sense in that. You know what? And so when me in Christ, to the point of what I'm trying to show you is, you are a new king, citizen of the kingdom, right? You're kingdom man, kingdom woman, right? And so you're now citizens of the kingdom. You're a new creature. You have a new attitude. You have the attitude from heaven. You have the attitude in your speech and your actions are like heaven, not like back home. Where you came from. We now that's in the grave to me now. I died and I'm new. I'm born again. I'm new. Newness of mind, newness of heart. But anyway, new creatures. I'm talking about the resurrected life. In other words, back to what I'm talking about. Again, yes, naturally, as we from back home, but now you know what I'm saying. But the part I'm talking about, the old man, the old woman from back home died. So when I go back home, they say, you sure did change. Yes, I did. I've been saved. I've been born again. My old buddies, when I first got back in the army, when I was in the army, I first got first time going back home. Hey man, come on, let's go out, man. I went out with him because Brandon, Chris, whatever. I went out. Hey man, here's a beer. Nah, I don't drink, man, no more. I don't drink. Come on, man, let's smoke this. Nah, I don't smoke no more. What? The army doesn't change. It wasn't the army that changed me. It was God. I'm now resurrected, man. I can't. And so I'm sitting in the room, sitting in the car, fellas drinking various things, just like the old days. But I was different. I was different. It was different when I went back home. And it's just been a couple of, well, a year, I'm a year and a half. A year and a half. Let's see, I got saved. I've been saved for 6 months when I went back. And man, it was different. It didn't look the same. That old corner didn't look the same. The old little crowd didn't look the same. It was a different feel because I had been resurrected. I had been cleansed. Man, I was so happy and joyful. And I wanted to tell them men and my friends and my cousins and all my loved ones, I've been born again, man. My life has changed. Start going to the church, man. He said, man, that's good, y'all. Hey, that's good. That's good. That's good. And so now to this day, they through the years, they say, you still preaching? Absolutely. But now they see me preaching now. Before they didn't know, before we had all this broadcast stuff, again, they just heard about me being a preacher, but now they see it. And by the grace of God, that we have tried to inspire you to where you can say, you know what? I want to be made new. A new creature. Certain things you just don't do no more because we've been made new. We've been resurrected. We're talking about the resurrected life tonight. If you see, you can say you believe. But does your life show? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And so we must live and believe it. Live and believe it. Let's move on. The Bible says in verse 18. Let's finish up. Old things are passed away. Old things. I'm talking about the resurrected life. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. I don't respond the way I used to. I can't think the way I used to. Because old things are passed away. Things don't bother me like that no more. Certain things don't even move me no more. Because old things are passed away. The Bible says all things have become new. All things. From A to Z about your life. Well, this part of my life didn't get changed. Well, open up and say, God, take this out. Get this part of this cancer out of my heart. Clean this part, this secret part in here, just got to go. Because all things have been made new. Come on, I'm talking about the resurrected life tonight. All things are new. Well, this part is still dead. If that part of your body still is dying, that's gangrene. It's going to spread eventually and destroy you like gangrene. All things become new. You've been resurrected. No dead limbs, no dead parts. Take it out, pluck it out, get rid of it. This thing's gonna kill me. God, all things new. Number 18, he says, all things are of God.
who hath reconciled us to himself and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. So there's a reconciliation reconciliation of rejoining back together. It's all made possible through Jesus Christ. You see there, number 19, he says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not putting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So he took it all away. But you got to let him take it all away. God, forgive me, but not this one here. I'm going to hold on to this one. Take it all away. I don't know about this. I'd like to keep that one in my back pocket. Get it all out of there. So let's move a little further. Number 20 says, now then we are ambassadors of Christ. The resurrected life causes us to now become ambassadors for him. Here in the United States, we are in New York, I should say, in New York City. We live in a blessed city, awesome city. And here it's a little bit of everything. You see people from all walks of life. Probably what I heard was almost every nation is represented somehow, somewhere. At least one person lives here, plus or minus. There were some statistics say that. But also here's the United Nations. United Nations is the headquarters, the world government, and all these different things. But again, that's a whole nother teaching there. But again, and so it's a governing body. It's not really a governing body, but an assembly of nations. They come together and, you know, try to keep the things put together. But only God can keep this world together. But anyway, they have ambassadors. And riding around, you may see sometimes a plate that says diplomat. Diplomat plates. Because that person is assigned from their country to do what? To represent their country. They're assigned to represent Kenya, signed to represent Liberia, signed to represent Australia, signed to represent Canada, whatever it may be, wherever you're from, Estonia, wherever it may be. And so you're assigned. They send you over here to live and work at the UN and no doubt to represent and be the spokesman for their country. The president can't be here, so you are representing the nation, you're representing the government, et cetera, et cetera. So the point I'm trying to bring is, I never knew this until a few years back, they said if they get in trouble, if they break the law, not speeding tickets or nothing like that, but something that is detrimental and brings shame to themselves, it's a reflection on their country, and they will lose their job, they will be expelled from their duties, and naturally, why? Because they're representing their nation. But the point I'm trying to bring is, the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. And we are to represent the kingdom of God, the New Jerusalem. And so the resurrected life, we're now new citizens of the kingdom. And as a result, we are to be ambassadors. We are to set the example. Those were ideal citizens. These folks here, these diplomats, are supposed to be ideal citizens to represent their nation, to make their nation proud, to show their country with dignity, to show their nation and the people will see them. When they see them, they would think immediately of their country. Say, so, okay, he's a decent man. She's a decent woman. They represent well their country. And you know, we as Christians, let us represent well the kingdom of God. And so the resurrected life wants you to represent well. So where you and when the world sees you and I, they will see the kingdom. They will know these are men and women that believe and are part of that Jesus crowd. They are part of that resurrected crowd. Those are those disciples. Those are those followers of Christ. They will see you. But they see you over there moving around like the world and reacting like the world and doing like the world and conducting your life like the world and your speeches like the world. Sometimes they say, I don't know. Okay. I know they go to church, but are they, you know, I don't know if they, you know, because they don't represent well. One foot in the nightclub, one foot out of the nightclub. Hey, that's not a resurrected life. And so we see here today, we want to live a resurrected life. Let's move on. I'm gonna wrap up. It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah, number 21. He says, for he hath made me to be sin. He had made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made partakers of the righteousness of God. So Jesus paid it up. He knew no sin. He represented the kingdom well. He represented his heavenly Father and the kingdom of God well. Kingdom came down through him. He knew no sin. And naturally, through him, we have been redeemed. He took away all of our sins and gave us new citizenship, new life, the resurrected life. Let's move a little further. Wow, it's a lot in here. It's a whole chapter I want to give you. All right. Let me go halfway through it and we close up. All right. Philippians 3. I got the greeting Philippians. I was going to jump right into a certain piece, but the more you read and you back it up, keep backing it up and say, man, there's so much juice in this thing. But let's look at Philippians 3:1. Philippians 3:1. The Bible says it's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, whose life had been changed. He had resurrected. Before you knew this man was a terror to the church. Read the book of Acts. He was a terror. Sing a song sometimes. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. He was not naturally, he could stand up and sing that the loudest. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Things I used to say and think and act actions I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Amen. It was a great day when I was born again. So we look at this. This man had been born again. God changed his life. He was resurrected. Once a dead man, as we shared last week, we were walking dead men before we came to Christ. We were walking terrorists. We were walking zombies on this earth before we come to Jesus. But now we have a lively hope as we open up. We have a lively hope in Christ. So let's look at it. Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. A resurrected life wants to rejoice in the Lord. Back to what I say, we have a lively hope. We have a reason to get excited. He says, to write to the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but it's for you, it is safe. For you, it is safe. The things he said, the things I'm about to give to you, the things that he's written and the things he gives to us, he said, it's safe. It's good for us. It's not grievous. And so when one is resurrected, the word of God should not be grievous. It don't always feel good, but it's good. It don't always feel good. It don't always feel good to get corrected. It don't always feel good to be straightened out. And when you've been resurrected, you will receive correction. You will receive instructions. You will receive, again, what the pastor might tell you. You will receive what the word of God says. And again, today, because you've been born again and you want to please the Lord. But those that fail, that have not been resurrected, they're going to kick it. They're going to fight it. And they're going to talk bad about it. And they're going to rebuke. And they're going to rebel. And they're going to get mad. They're going to shut up the broadcast. They're going to do whatever. You know, we got to have a heart that says, you know, mold me, shape me, prune me. I could be more fruitful in my life. Let's move on. And the Bible says, beware of dogs. A resurrected life, we begin to put your guards up. Get a guard your life. You're now erect and say, hey, wait, before we didn't see it. Before we didn't see what the devil was doing. But now you're guarding your heart. You're scanning your area. You're guarding your soul, your heart, and your soul. You're protecting your mind. So you beware of dogs. You beware of evil workers. Again, the evilness that the devil will do in people and use people. The devil will use people to draw you away. The devil will use people to destroy the church. He will use people and things to do up to destroy you and I. The devil has assignments for people. He'll have assignments for people in the church to destroy the church. But the Bible says today, beware of concision as well. Number 3 went on to say, but because you've been resurrected, you are aware. You have to have your eyes open and don't lure. I'm going to talk to a man real soon. It never fails. It never fails. Every time we're about to have something, big event, every time we're about to have something awesome, the devil will find a way to snatch that man out. And he'll miss service. He'll miss it. The devil has a trap for him every time. See him and talk to him the day before. Oh, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. I'll be there. Sometimes they'll help you pass out flyers. They'll help you pass out and go sowing it. They'll help you set up and all these different things. And boom, the devil will have a trap for them. Because, again, the failure to be resurrected and have your guard up. and they want to stay up. Amen. So Jesus began to tell his disciples, he said, I pray for you. I pray for you. Because Jesus knew the lies and the things of the devil are out to do what? Just keep us grounded and dying, dead, and not be resurrected. So, number three, he says, for we are the circumcisions which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. A resurrected man and woman has no confidence in his flesh. I don't care what I've done, what I've accomplished, what I know, what I've read, what I've experienced, what the school I went to, the education I have. Who cares? All that's behind me now. Who cares? Let's do something for God. Well, I know more than you about the Bible. I know this. I'm this, that, I'm wise. Well, that's fleshly. That's worldly. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? I didn't get a chance to do this. Or whatever. Folks fighting, carrying on. I didn't get a chance to sing. I didn't get a chance to do this. On and on and on. But anyway, if any other man thinketh that he hath wherefore I might trust in the flesh, I the more. Paul began to say, because there was problems in the church. There was problems going on, and he began to let them know. He says, if you're bragging about your accomplishments, you're bragging about things, there's no reason to brag. He said, I can brag more than any of you about things. And the Bible says he's going to break down his resume. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel. This was important, to be circumcised. It was a big, big thing. Again, fleshly stuff. Fleshly stuff. He says, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching of the law, a Pharisee. He knew the law forward and backwards. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. He said, I was at the top of the ranks, baddest dude in the ranks of the Pharisees. He says, what? But what things were gained to me, those things I counted lost for Christ. He said, you can take all that junk and throw it in the trash. Take all my plaques off the wall, throw that junk in the trash. Take all my degrees and throw them in the bonfire. I could care less. He says, none of that matter. He says, you know, take all the titles, strip all the titles down. All that, he says, the things that were gained to me, I count them lost for Christ. He says, my mind is on Jesus now. I've been resurrected. That junk don't matter. I can't take that to heaven, no way. If you want a master's degree, amen. Get it from above. Get it from the master himself. Thank God for your master's degree. Use it. Amen. God puts you in a place on the job. Use that thing. Work that thing. Amen. Pay your tithe on top of all that because you've been resurrected. Let me slip that in there too. A resurrected life individual pays his tithe. I know there's doctrine out there to try to skew away from that.
Yeah.
Most people who speak against tithe is those churches, those big churches. They got everything they need anyway. They know. Again, they have enough people to support the word ministry. So, again, they don't need your tithe, but it's biblical. But the Bible goes on and says here, the master's degree, how do we get on that? All the degrees, all this stuff didn't matter to him. He said, when you get resurrected, what my pastor say, your wallet gets saved too. How's that? When you get saved, your wallet gets saved too. But anyway, let's move on. Yea, doubtless I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung, he says, that I may win Christ. I've been resurrected. He said all of that, my old self, my old ways is in the grave. It's like a pile of manure. It's dead to me. When they put me in that ground, spiritually speaking, and I prayed for Jesus to come into my heart, and Jesus spoke to me on that road to Damascus, however you came to Christ, again, the old man stays down. The new man gets up. The new woman gets up. It's a new start. Game on. Let's go. What do you want me to do, Jesus? What do you want me to do for you? Hey, man, how can I serve you, God, because you saved me? I'm excited, Lord. Let me go do something. Help somebody. Let me go pray for somebody. Let me just be a servant now for you. But the Bible says, and be found in him, having not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God by faith. He said, that I may know him This is how I was going to get into it. This is the part I was trying to get to. But I started reading all that. I said, man, there's a lot of meat on that thing. Number 10, he says, but I want to know him. A resurrected life. We're talking about the resurrected life. And so when you get saved, when you give your life over to Christ, not Easter. Anybody can come to church for Easter. But to really know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Yeah, I believe he raised from the grave. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He rose from the grave. No, the power, I want to express it in my life. The power is resurrection. The Bible says, in the fellowship of his suffering. When I go through things, when I go and stop coming to church because I'm going through something. That's the time to run to church. When I go and go get a drink because I can't take the stress, or do I go pray? The resurrected life goes praise. The unresurrected life goes and gets a drink. The Bible says, if by any means I may obtain the resurrection of the dead. Number 12, it says, not as though I already obtained, and either already perfect, but follow after, if that I may apprehend, for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. We've been apprehended. We now belong to Christ. Number 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. The old me is dead. He's gone. He's in the grave. The Bible says, but reaching forth unto the things which are before. God, what can I do for you? God, what's next? I'll be at the next service, Pastor. Again, what's happening this weekend? Amen. How can I help? I'm reaching forth for the kingdom. Let me do something for God. He says, I'm reaching forth for the prize of the high calling. Again, I press towards the mark in verse 14. I press towards the mark of the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. This is the mind of a resurrected person. You can tell when somebody got saved because immediately they want to just do something for God. They want to go soul winning. They want to tell somebody. They want to just do something for the kingdom. Do something for the church. Let me sweep the floor. Let me cut the grass. Let me do something. Pastor, only we ain't got to tell. Let's go cut the grass. Let me help. Let me help. Let me go tell somebody. Let me bring somebody to church. Let me pick somebody up. I'll pick them up for you. I'll take care of that. Because you've been resurrected. I can only imagine the assistance that Jesus got. Jesus had people that came around him, amen, to help him and various things. So we begin to look at this, how the brothers and sisters today, the resurrected life, you begin to want to do something for the kingdom. The Bible says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. So this is the mindset of a resurrected person. He says, if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have not already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. There's only one Bible. Certain things that Christians do, certain resurrection, the resurrection, the doctrines, the preaching, the teachings, we should all be of the same mind. Same cause, same results. And this, they say, hey, you can tell he's a believer. You can hear by his speech. You can see it by in his eyes. You can see it in their heart. You can see their actions. You can see their mannerisms. You can tell, hey, you can tell that you must be a believer. I was way in a whole nother. I was up in Michigan one time. Total stranger. He came up and approached me. We got to talking a little bit. And he said, hey, you a Christian? I said, yeah. He said, I can tell. He said, I can tell by what you're saying. He said, I'm a Christian too. And, you know, you can tell. You can tell. You can just, that same mutual spirit. And amen. We continue to pray for us. Brother, I believe his name was Ray. One time I met him, he could have been an angel. You never know. Amen. But you know what? Again, he just showed up out of nowhere. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning. And it was amazing how he just came up and walked. We started talking. But anyway, you never know. But the Bible says, brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk as ye have unto us for an example. Let's read again. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Or in sample. Number 18 says, for many of whom I told you often, now telling you, even weeping, they were They are the enemies of the cross. He says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, whose mind is earthly things, or whose mind is earthly things. He began to say, hey, everybody who's among us, or even somehow, somewhere along the line, the devil may try to put out the life in the believer. Never, ever, ever let the enemy put your life, the lifeline on. Pray, believe, trust God, fight through it, bear through. He said, even in tears, I've seen people walk away. I thought they had the goods. I thought they was really, really going to be a part. I thought they were really going to serve and really serve God. We've seen many women from all walks of life walk away from the time we've been saved over almost 30 years now to now. We've seen people walk away. They saw it in there. It's nothing new. Paul said, even in tears, I weep because I thought they had been resurrected. Bible says, for our conversation is in heaven, and from whence also we look for the Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. A resurrected life, as I wrap this up, looks for the second coming of Jesus. We look for our redemption. We look to Jesus. We look forward to getting out of here. We look forward to leaving this old earth. Man, you can go. We can go now. That should all. You know what? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But wait a minute. I wanted to do a few more things here on earth. Hey, if Jesus comes, hey, forget it. It's over. But there's more work to be done until then. And until then, we must continue to keep our eyes on Christ. We can't continue. That's another message in itself. After Jesus was about to go into heaven, they was up looking up in the sky. An angel came and said, hey, why are you looking around up in the sky? Come on, there's work to be done. And so, you know, we can't be caught up looking up in the sky all the time either. There's work to be done. There's work to be done in the meantime. And so the Bible says, but we keep that in the back of our mind. Hey, he's coming again. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And whether it's through death, we'll see him soon, or whether it's through the wrath of the church. But anyway, let's move on. The Bible says, who shall change our vile body? Back to this, this lively hope that we have. He's going to change this old body that the world puts all of their stock in. They will lose their soul because of this old flesh. Instead of letting the new man, the new creature, the inner man, we have to come back to that another time. The inner man being changed, the inner man should control the outer man. You can tell one has been resurrected because the inner man now controls the outer man. I'm going to say man, woman, too. Inner man and woman. The inner woman is changed. This should change as well. Right? You begin to let the Spirit of God control this old vile body. So the Bible talks about eventually when he does come to get his church, and when the resurrection, the final resurrection takes place, this old vile body will go away. He says, and no more pains, no more problems, no more back aches, no more this, that, the other. Amen. And the Bible says that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body. We would get a new body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The resurrected life has its blessed hope. As we close, we have a resurrected outlook. We have a resurrected hope. We have a resurrected reason for living. We have a resurrected purpose. We have a resurrected joy that we was looking for, satisfied in Christ. We have to fill it with the things that the world fills their lives and their bodies with. We can have a joy from above. It's not made, no doubt, with hands. This thing comes from above, brothers and sisters. And we have a lively hope. We've been resurrected. And get excited. Stay excited. If you've not been saved, get saved today. Say, preacher, I'm one foot in, one foot out. Hey, get both feet in. Throw that other leg in the grave, and that one hand is still in the grave, preacher. Get rid of that hand. God will give you a new hand so you can raise two hands, amen. Now you won't just have one hand raised in church. You have two hands raised in church, amen. You begin to praise God and glorify God. Brothers, I got to go, but amen, it's exciting. We serve a risen Savior. Continue to let the fervor of the resurrection take place in your life. And we'll see you this Thursday night. Why? Because you've been resurrected. We'll see you at 7:30 at the church because you've been resurrected. 334 Ashford Street. And then this Sunday morning. Say, preacher, I work Sunday. Well, that's what Thursday night is for. Again, come on out and be with us. Come on out and be with us this Thursday. And if you got to work on Sunday, come Thursday. That's what you do. Amen. Make up. Say, you know what? I got to get to the house of the Lord somehow, some way this week and every week. going forward in my life. God bless you. We'll see you soon.